are listening to BensTorah.com.
The topic of Kabbalah Satorah, Maimed Har Sinai, and I want to go a little in depth tonight to exactly what happened, what transpired, to share with you some beautiful Rambans and other Rishonim over here concerning some major issues of what in fact is contained in Parshas Yisra, Parshas Mishpatim, later on is mentioned again in Sefer Devarim. So let's get into the topic very quickly. We know for a fact that, and this is a yesod that's articulated up front by the Brisker Rav, that when it came to Kabbalah Satar, when it came to Maimed Har Sinai, the two major parshiyos that really portray what took place is really psukim contained in Parshas Yisrael and psukim contained as well in Parshas Mishpatim. Those are the parashas in which the dimensions of what took place around Kabbalah Satorah, Maimed Har Sinai, were actually described. But as the Brisker Rav points out, the fact of the matter is that there are two different phenomena taking place simultaneously that requires that what took place at that time should be put into two different parashas. If the only thing that took place was Maimed Har Sinai, Kabbalah Satorah, then the fact of the matter is Parshas Yisra does a pretty good job in describing what happened. But as I mentioned last week, and I'm mentioning today Bahagdama in today's Shir, is that Klal Yisrael at the time of Kabbalah Satorah had another thing they had to do as a preamble to Kabbalah Satorah, and that is to mekabel the din of being a full-fledged Ben Yisrael, Bas Yisrael. They had to undergo a Geiris process. And therefore, the Brisker Rav points out, where I described last week the fact that the Geiris of Klal Yisrael before Har Sinai's Kabbalah Satorah involved the concept of doing a Bris Milah and being table in waters L'Shem Geiris and bringing in a carbon Geiris and quite obviously giving Klal Yisrael an understanding what they're getting themselves into. I mentioned the Maimore Chazal last week of Mixas, Mrs. Kalas, Vechamudos, that Parshas Mishpatim, according to the Brisker Rav, is the description of part of the Mitzvahs Kalas, Chamudos, that Klal Yisrael had to be exposed to in order for them to mekabel the Geiris of Klal Yisrael with the Yediya Barura, exactly what they're getting themselves into. So the Mitzvahs, the beginning of Parshas Mishpatim, is the Gilui of the partial Mitzvahs Kalas, Vechamudos. The end of Parshas Mishpatim, where there's a Sefer Bris that is read, and you have Na'ari B'nai Yisrael bringing Karbanos, those are Karbanos of Geirus. So Mishpatim really is the Parsha that really deals with the Geirus and the Hashlamas of Geirus of Klal Yisrael. Rashi already says in Parshas Mishpatim, Emukdamuch B'Teira, that the events that took place in Parshas Mishpatim really preceded what happened when it came to the Aseret Dibros and all the events in Parshas Yisrael that describe Hashem coming down and speaking to Klal Yisrael, etc. So basically the Parsha of Geiris took place around the third day, fourth day of Klal Yisrael's preparation for Kabbalah Satorah, Emukdamuch B'Teira. And according to the Brisker Rav, the reason that the Ribono Shel Olam separated the Parshas of Kabbalah Satorah into two parts is that one's dealing with the Yechidah Sin of Geirisin, which is Parshas Mishpatim. Parshas Yisra really is dealing with the theme of Maimed Har Sinai in Kabbalah Satorah as a topic in its own right, and therefore what we're doing tonight is we're going to deal with Parshas Yisra, the concept of Maimed Har Sinai. Last week, Baruch Hashem, we dealt with the concept of Geiris, Gira, Galacha. I don't have to be Marach upon that anymore. So last week we took care of that phenomenon. Tonight we're dealing with what's called Maimed Har Sinai, Kabbalah Satorah, which according to the Brisker Rav, quoting the Rishonim, is really the highlight of what Parshas Yisra is all about. Now, what's interesting, Rabbi Yisai, is that if you look in the Maamar Kamas I gave out tonight, and look at the very last page, you have in the Maamar Kamas are psukim from Sefer Devarim, where the psukim quite obviously describe the Musa Shmutz that Moshe Rabbeinu gave Klal Yisrael in Sefer Devarim, the Klal Yisrael, when it comes to a retrospect of what happened when it came to Kabbalah Sefer. And we're going to analyze that tonight a little more barichos and go into it and show you some interesting yesodos and machlokas rishonim concerning specific issues. So if you look at the psukim itself, what's interesting is the following. In Perek Dalet in Sefer Devarim, Moshe Rabbeinu starts going into an entire arichos of what his functional role was. You look in Pasuk Hey, it says, "Re'ein l'mati yaschem chukim mishpatim kasher tivan Hashem alakai lasas kain bekev ares asher tem basim sham l'rishto." So, quite obviously, Moshe is pointing out that his functional role is to be malabim tarit the klai. So that's his purpose, to prepare them for their spiritual ascent into Eretz Israel, etc., etc. Shemartim vasisim ki hichachmas miraskim le'ein amim. He's telling Klal Yisrael, it's not just a question of intellectualizing Yahadus, you have to apply it, internalize it, become part and part of your daily activities, that the Goyish world will judge us based upon our knowledge of Torah and our practice of Torah. They see the brilliance of how deep Torah is and how Torah impacts upon everything in this world, all natural sciences and everything else has a chelik when it comes to what Torah has to say about it, especially when it comes to the phenomenon of astronomy and such. Chazal say, Chachmas k'me'asma ina amim, that the goyim are in the spoil, how much we know when it comes to the scientific world, and how much the Torah has to say when it comes to its application. And then we come to Pasaches, Migoy gadol asher lo achlu mishpatot tzadikah ha'Torah hazos, asher noichim etzavcha, asher noichim noos lefneichem hayoyim. Like, quite obviously, we have a special maila of what, when it comes to the greatness of the Chukim Mishpatim Hashem has given us. And quite obviously, we also have a special intimacy between ourselves and the Rabbeinu Shalom, which is going to be emphasized later on. But now we come to the key phrase of tonight's shir. And that is the Rabbeinu Shalom says, and Moshe says it over, Raki Shom Lecha Shom Nafshecha Ma'od Pen Tishkach Es Devar Masher Roi Necha Upen Yisroel Levech Lemechamecha Haydat Levenech Lemechamecha Yoyim Hashem Malaf Neshem Mekecha Bechorev Be'emar Hashem Elai Hakeli Hasam Hashmim Es Devar Hashem Limudu Leriosi Kol Hayomim Hashem Chayim Aldama Ves Benehem Yelam Meidun. So we have over here the Rabbeinu Shalom giving us what seems to be a lav that we have to be very, very careful to not forget that which we saw, that which we witnessed, that which we experienced when it comes to Maimed HaSinai and Kabbalah Satira. We should never forsake it, forget about it, be Mesir Das. And it seems we also have a Chiv, Haidat Mavanech Necha, to give it over to the next generation after that, to Medea to them what we experienced, what we saw, what we felt, as part and part of the Tzivui. From the Pashtus of the Psukim, it would seem to imply there is a low sasei of not forgetting, and there seems to be an asei hadat lechem, teaching over and giving over to Klal Yisrael, to the next generation. We'll see when it comes to technical psak halacha whether in fact there is an asei v'loy sasei. And it seems the emphasis over here is the day that we stood in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chayref, and Hashem says He wanted us to be assembled, and we were assembled, and we heard exactly the diburim that Hashem told us at that point in time. The Torah is describing over here not only the content of the discussion that Hashem had with us, but also the phenomenon of the natural law. There was a burning of a fire, there was cheshech on a varofa, all different types of things taking place in the backdrop, a very fearful type of assemblage. The earth was shaking, dark, light, fires, thunder. Vaidaba Hashem Alechem Itech Esh Kol Dvar Matem Shomim Tumenein Chorem Zulazikol. What Moshe basically highlights is you heard Hashem's divine voice addressing you, but there was no tumuna, no form, no visualization of a tzur of HaKadosh Baruch whatsoever in the communication. You only heard Hashem's divine voice and nothing else. The basic context of the discussion, the communication, was the Aseret HaDibros, the and I committed to writing them unto Lach Zavanim. Be very careful not to think about Hashem in the context of tamunos and idols and figurines and kedemer. We heard Hashem addressing us, speaking to us, and that's the context of which we relate to Hashem through a kol of Hashem addressing us in the midbar. Now, this specific piece of Chumash, quite obviously, is very, 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 you know, explicit. But what is it coming to teach us? What is it coming to basically teach us about our experience of the Har Sinai experience? So if you look at the first page of the Maariv Mekomos, so I want to get straight to the Ramban in the Sefer HaMitzvos. One of the mitzvos that the Ramban claims the Rambam did not mention in his Tayag Mitzvos list is the mitzvah contained in Pasuk Tes, and that is the Shemalacha Pentishka Adran Shoreinecha, the Loisase, which the Rabban claims of not forgetting what happened in Maimed HaSinai. So let me read with you inside the Ramban, and we'll get into the Machlekes very shortly. What is the Machlekes between the Rambam and the Ramban? HaMitzvah HaBeis, in the list of the mitzvahs which the Ram deleted according to the Ramban, and that is Shenimnu Shalal Nishkach Maimed HaSinai, we shouldn't forget the Ora of Maimed HaSinai. V'lo Nasir Al Samadatenu, we shouldn't be misir das from our mind this phenomenon. Aviyu Einenu V'libeinu Shom Kol HaYamim, our heart, our mind should be geared to remember this continuously. V'armo Yisbarach Yisham Lach HaShem HaNashuch HaMa'od Pen Tishkach Zdor HaShara V'einecha Pen Yisur Milovechim Echayecha. So we have over here mentioning the Leisase, which is articulated in that specific pasuk. So we therefore see that the Ramban claims this is the source of a mitzvah Leisase when it comes to this specific sod. The Ramban says, realize that this pasuk in this context is very important. Why? Shemhayu divrei Torah ba metzleinu mipinavi olav hashalom bavad. If Torah only came to us by the conduit of a Navi Hashem coming and telling us the Torah, which means the Navi was the shliach sent to give us over Torah, but we would not have experienced Hashem speaking to us directly in Maimed HaSinai. We wouldn't have that experience. Even though the Navi that's coming to address us would have already demonstrated the efficacy of his prophecy by the various signs and wonders he performed miraculously to show the emesdikait of his nevuah. But the problem is, if the only emes of this Navi is established by Osef Samosim, if later on another Navi supposedly comes along, a person dream of dreams, and he will basically be Yatzaveinu b'shum hepech menat Torah. He's going to start giving us commands in the name of Hashem that are the opposite of the commands that Moshe Rabbeinu gave us initially b'HaKadosh Baruch Hu. For Nas on Moses, and what's going to happen is to prove that he's a Navi Emes, who also performs signs and miracles to show the Emes Dekait of his Nevuah. Tita Teira Nesucha Adesheni Oyechanis Bolei Safek. Now we come into a dilemma. If both Nevi'im have proven their concept of being Nevi'im by performing Oysos and Mofsim, what happens now is by the second coming to contradict the first, he is now raising Sfekus in our mind. Which version of the Torah do we have to follow? That of the first version, that of the second version? He's causing now, Nischa, according to many Mefarsh, means a Hesach Hadas when it comes to our connection to the original Torah given to us, going back to the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. So if Moshe Rabbeinu's only introduction to us was merely Osus and Mofsim, the phenomenon he's describing over here could have undermined or perhaps undercut or caused fake-ups in the actual efficacy of Moshe's Nevuah and Torah for generations to come. Al zeh amar kishigano b'yibya Torah mipiagvura lezneinu v'neinu rois ein shom emtsai. But what Hashem did to save us from this type of quandary is when it came to the b'yatorah, when it comes to Torah itself, we had a Kadosh Baruch Hu b'chvoido b'yatzmo at Har Sinai addressing us as Klal Yisrael in a prophetic spirit. We heard it with our ears. We witnessed with our eyes. There was no intermediary between. Hashem was addressing us directly. I'm going to get back to this very shortly. So once we know our knowledge of Torah, our knowledge of Moshe's Torah, came from the direct emphasis of Hashem saying it over to Moshe, Moshe saying it to us, and therefore we have the Har Sinai experience giving that type of uniqueness in emes dekai to Moshe's nevuah by Hashem directing him explicitly to tell us exactly what to say, what not to say, and Hashem was involved in an explicit nevuah showing this to us personally. Once we've seen that, we experience that, Nachish kol chaylik v'kol mesafik m'shnashakar. So whoever comes now and tries to contradict Moshe's nevuah and basically be cholik upon him, we automatically know, quite obviously speaking, that person is a shakran by the fact he never appeared to us in a similar phenomenon of Maimed HaSinai number 2. We don't have his introduction to us the way Moshe was introduced to us, or his authorization to us as Moshe was authorized to us. Therefore, lo yaliu os lo tzima yadeinu ma'mayfes. Therefore, whatever oses of Moshe he does is not going to take away his halacha categorization of being another sheker. Shanachnu hayodim b'shakrus v'chuzaso. By the fact he does not have the same type of introduction to us as Moshe does, directly from Hashem v'chvei de b'yatzmo, it automatically questions all the oses of Moshe he does. And since he's being Meshaka, since he's saying the opposite of what Moshe told us to do, he automatically is categorized as a Novi Sheker Chai Mises Bezdim. And that's why when it comes to Maimon HaSinai, Hashem prefaced to Moshe Rabbeinu, besides what I tell Klal Yisrael, what I give to Klal Yisrael, what I basically say to them, one of the most important things of Maimon HaSinai is Gam B'chaya Minu La'ulam. The Nemanis, the Moshe being the only authorized Navi to disseminate Torah, is going to be accomplished by the aura and the information given to Klal Yisrael by Maimon HaSinai. V'inyin abba b'pashas ki yokib chir b'navi acholem b'chaloim. This is based on the introduction to the Pasha later on. How do you know a Navi is a Navi Sheker? What's the definition? And the answer is when he contradicts Moshe's Navua, that automatically categorizes him of a Navi Sheker. U'kvar biya harav. What's interesting, the Ramban says, is I don't want you to think for one second that the Rambam does not hold what I just said. Because the irony is, the Rambam may not have mentioned the lo saseh of not to forget Maimon HaSinai, but all the yesodes that he just said concerning what Maimon HaSinai accomplishes, the Rambam mentions explicitly in Sefer Mada, as I'm going to show you very shortly, because I have the photostat of the Rambam as well. So he says, if that's the case, I want you to know, the Rambam himself likewise articulated a similar concept in Sefer Mada, Hilchos Yesod HaTorah, when it comes to this stuff. For Yesod Gadol B'Torah, V'hi Amaniya Abolana B'Pasle Pentishkach Ezra Sheroi Necha, V'hizir, pen yasur min alev, ve'odiyam ulevanim, v'nevanim l'dayros aylam, that God forbid we should forget to what's happened in Maimon HaSinai, and also forget, God forbid, to transmit it to the next generation, that they should have a continuum of transmission, ishmi piyish, going back to HaSinai, that these events, in fact, took place, our alt, the bubbas and zaydas who stood there, they told this to their children and their children and their children to their children for thousands of years. We have a direct line of Ishmi Piyish, Ishma Piyisha, telling the next generation that we have a Messiah. This in fact happened, and they experience what the Torah describes over here. And he therefore says, if that's the case, go back inside. We saw God of the Torah, the Amaniya, Abal, the Pasta Pedeshkach, and Rashurai Necha. He's a Pensum and Alev, Meodim, and Menem, and Darus Alam. Valtita Bezeb, and some Menesha Darshan, Barishon, Shokadushan. So the Ramban says, you might say to me, but is this Pasuk not used, the Mesech, this Kedushan, for a different Limut? And that Limut is, there's a special Achrayas upon a father to teach his children Torah, and to treat his grandchildren Torah. In fact, the Gemara says, whoever's Modiyah to his children, grandchildren, Kilo Kibma Har Sinai, there's a special Zuchus, a special concept of a Chazaka, the one's Torah is gone for so many generations, if you become the Achsan Yeshal Torah. V'idat l'vnei v'necha, b'lisa b'li ben ha-Torah l'vnei banim. So you might say the Pasuk is used for that purpose, not the purpose mentioned over here. So the Ramban says, don't get confused.
Ki limud emunes ha-teirahu, limud ha-teirah.
The fact of the matter is, if I had to summarize what this pasuk is all about, what the pasuk's teaching me is the teaching that Torah comes from HaSinai, Torah came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Moshe was merely the conduit to be most of the Torah to us. That's called the concept of Emunas HaTorah. Teaching our children, grandchildren Torah includes the soul teaching them Emunas HaTorah. Where does the Torah come from? Torah, the Torah came from HaSinai, is as crucial to teach our children, grandchildren, as the substance and the content contained in the Torah. So therefore, the Gemara in Kedush is not just saying it's the mitzvah to teach our children, grandchildren Torah. It means the concept of Emunas HaTorah, which is the primary pshat of this pasuk, must be transmitted to the generations afterwards to realize everything I'm teaching them came from HaSinai. Aval nizbayna v'nikach raya medevrayim ki hamitzvah lamitz. It's an eternal mitzvah. V'imkol adaris edav shalei shishkigli inyan. That we should basically forget this. Hamayim erahushu l'chol ha'am b'maris einayim v'shmias his name. Remember, Klaius saw this with their eyes. They heard this with their ears. V'ishatiku zeh midol ador. We should transfer from one generation to the next generation. L'aylam. V'imitzis l'aysasei. Zarka Balalochis Varav Shacha Gamkein. Unfortunately, the Rambam didn't enumerate this as the Tayag Mitzvah, but the Hashkafa that he articulated, as I'm going to show you very shortly, the Rambam basically held. So the first question I want to pose over here is that if I'm going to show you that the Rambam, in fact, I'm going to read with you inside the Rambam, you say the Torah, I want to show you reasons, I'm going to be a Madaik of the Rambam over there. He says more things than the Ramban says. That if, in fact, the Rambam held and agreed with the Yesod and the Ramban admits that, so why didn't the Rambam list it as one of the Laisase? It's an obvious question. So the Mefarshim point out, the Megillas Esther, one of the commentaries on the side of the Rambam Sefer Mitzvahs to defend the Rambam against the Ramban, said very simply, that the Rambam is being hoylech l'shitaso based upon klal dalet in the klalim of the Rambam puts together as the reason why this is classified as a mitzvah and this is not classified as a mitzvah. In the famous Yesod, Klal Dalet, the Rambam had one major concept, and that is, if you count the tzivuyim of the Torah, as I mentioned many times, there are thousands of tzivuyah Hashem that are mitzvahs deraisa for all generations to come. Thousands of thousands. That's 613. 613 is the basic number. But there's subcategories and subcategories. So besides subcategories, the Rambam's Mechalat, what he calls a tzav haprati v'hatzav haklali. There are mitzvahs that are very specific do's and don'ts. That are the types of mitzvahs, I say, below, I say, that the Rambam says, I'm going to enumerate in the Tariyag mitzvahs. But there are also asays velos asays that are tzavim, tzivuyim, klolyim, hashkafas ha-teira, the do's and the don'ts. I always quote to the Rambam says, kedoshim tiyu, which is the mitzvah deraisa for all generations to be kadosh. It's a tzivu deraisa, but it's not listed as a tayag mitzvah because it's a tzav ha-klali, defining hashkafas ha-teira b'derech klal. So the Megillas Esther wants to claim the concept of not forgetting Maimed HaSinai, the aura of that phenomenon, is such a major hashkafa klali that according to the Rambam, it's a derais, you got to do it. But it does not, it's not dealing with a specific mitzvah or asiyah prati and such. The Rambam didn't categorize this as a tayyak mitzvah in the list of tayyak mitzvahs. But obviously, the Ramban doesn't hold the klal dalet of the Rambam, but the Rambam surely held that way. So that takes away that specific problem. But what's interesting to note, Rabbi Isai, and this, unfortunately, I was going to plan to do it, I didn't do it. If you look up the Ramban in Chumash on these psukim, see, this is the Ramban in the Sefer Mitzvahs. If you look up the Ramban in Chumash on the actual pasuk itself, the Ramban adds a couple more pieces over here that I just want to mention with Derech Agav to fill out the picture. And that is, that according to the Shitas HaRamban, to remember the fact that we had the communication the way it took place as described by the Ramban in Sefer Mitzvahs, he reiterates it over there once again. The fact of the matter is, he says, but not only do you have to remember the discussion that Hashem had with us and the communication Hashem had with us, but you also have to take into consideration, remember, the backdrop
of all of the natural phenomena that seemed to be taking place unusually and unnatural at that point in time. You know, basically speaking, you have natural law undergoing a tumult at that point in time. Chazal say midrashically, people were able to hear what they normally see and see what they normally hear. So there were tremendous nisim and shaloi b'derech hateva taking place in the backdrop of Maamar HaSinai. According to the Ramban and Chumash, not only is the context of what was said over the Klal Yisrael something to basically remember, but also remember the aura of the backdrop of what took place as well. That's number one. Number two, what's interesting and fascinating is the Ramban in the Chumash says there's a mitzvah loisasei, as the Ramban says in Sefer Mitzvahs. But then the Rambam says as well in his Perish L'Chumash, he says, "V'tziva b'mitzvah asei shenadia bo l'chol zara midar l'dar." He mentioned there's a mitzvah asei as well. The only problem is in the Sefer HaMitzvahs of the Ramban, he never quotes this as an extra mitzvah asei. The Losasa, he does quote, what happened to the mitzvah asei in the Chumash? It's now realized in the Sefer HaMitzvahs. And this is an interesting phenomenon. So the answer that's given very simply is that the concept of the asei, the Ramban already in the Sefer HaMitzvahs said a certain phrase which Chevel says he wants to be Mataris the Kasha. He said, Emunis HaTaira is part of teaching Torah to the next generation. Since teaching Torah to the next generation is a mitzvah say, Lamadim is b'neichem, if they teach two children, and Kodav is your grandchildren Torah, once there's a mitzvah say, which the Rambam does count in the Tariq mitzvahs to teach Torah, Amunas HaTorah, which is basically what this is a chelek of that mitzvah. Once it's a chelek of the mitzvah to teach your Torah to our Inuklach, it doesn't have to be categorized as a separate mitzvah say b'fnei atzmo. This is the way Chevel bases Mataretz. There shouldn't be a stir between the Ramban over here and the Ramban in the Sefer HaMitzvahs. But at the end of the day, Beinkach l'Beinkach, almost everything else he says in his Perish L'Chumash is come out identical to what he says over here, which now brings me to the following question. And that is a very important question I want to point to you. When Klal Yisrael heard Hashem addressing them in the Aseres HaDibros, what daga were they on? What exactly did they hear? And tonight I'm going to deal with the Ramban's opinion. The Ramban's of the opinion that Klal Yisrael Har Sinai were momentarily raised to a darga of nevuah similar to the level of Moshe Rabbeinu to be able to hear Hashem address them, which means they had to be given prophetic antennas to be able to decipher Hashem's divine call. It should be audible, understandable, comprehensible. You know, you have to be on a certain wavelength when Hashem speaks to be able to have the proper receptor. So a Navi has to be on a certain level to be able to have the type of receptor Moshe Rabbeinu, which was Chazal called in Aspaklaya Hamira, a direct vision with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Panim Kapanim, as the Psukim describe at the end of Pashas Ba'alei Yischa, Pel, that's a very high level. When it says Lakam Kamosha, in world history there was nobody on a continual ongoing basis that had the level of Moshe's Nevuah and his communication between himself and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That was the Musa Shmuz. Later on Miriam and Aaron were given in Pashas Balozka. They were Chayshus Moshe Rabbein. He wasn't doing what he's supposed to do. His marital or like everything else. Hashem says, you think you're on the same level of Moshe Rabbein? No. Let me be Mazbo what his level of Nevuah is and your level of Nevuah. By the time he finished, Miriam and Aaron got the understanding. They basically understood. But Chazal tells us over here that Klal Yisrael were given a zuchus, that momentarily they were allowed to be raised to a level of prophetic capacity to be able to hear Hashem addressing them with the Aseres HaDibros and addressing Moshe as well. And therefore to hear the communication between Hashem and Moshe, where Hashem told Moshe, tell Klal Yisrael this and tell Klal Yisrael that, that the authorization of Moshe being the Navi Emes was heard audibly in prophetic vision by Klal Yisrael directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That experience of hearing Hashem address us on a prophetic level, that specific level, and hearing Moshe addressed by Hashem, and Moshe's authorization being given by Hashem to Moshe in the audibility of Klal Yisrael, that's the meaning of the pasuk. Rabban says, "Ubecha yaminu la'olam." That authorization Klal Yisrael heard directly. Bechvayda biyatzmo. The pella, however, that all the Rishonim have over here is b'mazachisa. How would Klal Yisrael zocher? Because Chazal tell us to be a Navi on Moshe's Rabbeinu level, you gotta have achanis. You have to have kishronos. You have to have special types of preparation. There are 10 levels of Nevi'im in Klal Yisrael, and Moshe was on the highest level, Okam Kamesha, but Avram never reached that level, and Yitzchak Yaakov never reached that level, nobody ever reached that level, so how did Klal Yisrael reach the level? Where did they get the Hakana from? So over here, the Rishonim are very, very explicit. And I found a pretty interesting consensus over here. The Rashba, in one of his tshuvas on this topic, the Ababanel in his Perish L'Chumish, but we have also Rav Yosef Albo in his Sefer, quite obviously, on Ashkafas HaTeira, Kudaymer, as well as the Ritva. What they basically say over here is Hashem gave Klal Yisrael a special matana momentarily at Har Sinai to be zoicha for a nevuah that under normal circumstances only Moshe should be zoicha for. But Hashem wanted them to have the momentary capacity to have that level of nevuah in order to accomplish the bigger mission, and that is the nemanis in the Torah coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the nemanis of Moshe Rabbeinu, quite obviously being the Navi given the authorization to be most of the Torah, when it comes to the rest of the Torah, that all of this stuff can only be accomplished and prevent later Shakranim from undermining it if Klal Yisrael were able to witness and hear Hashem speak to them on the level that Moshe was spoken to momentarily for the purpose of giving efficacy to all that's taking place. So all of these specific Rishonim say very beautifully that therefore they were given a momentary koyach to do such. Let me just quote what he says. He says over here that I'm quoting the Rashba. He says, Sheyachim Hashem Yisbarach keregel ochal'am, Hashem gave them a momentary capacity to accomplish what he wanted to accomplish at that point in time. The Ababanel also wants to get said and says, for a temporary purpose, to be able to Hashem address them and Moshe Rabbeinu on that specific level. The Ritva also says, Masfakir, Hamira, Shainam Ira. There were different levels of Nevuah taking place at that point in time, but one thing is for sure, Klais were able to hear Hashem address Moshe Rabbeinu and had that audibility on a prophetic level for Moshe's Nevuah to be in this Amis Etzlam, etc., etc. So even though B'derach HaTeva, Klais should not have reached that level, but nevertheless, they were given them a ton to accomplish that. If you feed into this, so you say, but what's supposed to Klal Yisrael have to reach that dagger? So I pointed out many times that Klal Yisrael, from the time they left Eretz Mitzrayim to Maimed HaSinai, were able to remove Memta Shari Tuma, replace it with Memta Shari Kedusha, to the point that the Gemara says in the Zohar says, Pasak Zuhamasan, that the spiritual purity of Klal Yisrael when it came to Maimed HaSinai reached levels of Kodem the Chet of the Eitz Adas Tevera. That's how Kaddish V'Torah they were, because of the schus of their shtalus to raise themselves to such a spiritual plateau, and because of the Tzarech Hashah, they came together to give them momentary kaychis of Nevu on that specific level. So this is the famous Shita of the Ramban. The Ramban says, however, that when it came to the first two Mamarim, Anochi lo yilecha mipi gurim shemanum, there Hashem gave him a Havana, not only hearing what Hashem said, but the tifkait of what that means, the Havana amokis of that, Hashem gave him as well. That's mipi gurim shemanum. The rest of the Torah, the 611, which the Gemara talks about in Masechet Makos, they heard those mitzvahs from HaKadosh Baruch Hu directly because of the nevuah, but when it came to the Havanas inyan, that they should be there for use to Moshe being the one to be most of the panemius, the last eight of the ten, Moshe was the one who was mazbe ba'amkis, what Hashem meant with the last of the eight of the Seres Dibros. So Moshe's purpose of being the Moshe Torah to Klal Yisrael already started in the last eight of the Seres Dibros, but they heard all eight according to the Shitas HaRamban, and this was a miraculous phenomenon for the Tafke for which all of this was done. This is what the Ramban says, and these other Rishonim seem to agree. Now what I want to show you now, Rabbi Yisai, in the Maran HaKemis, is I want to go very quickly to the Rambam. If you look now on page number 2,
and you come to the Rambam text, which the Ramban alluded to, I'm going to show you now certain statements that Rambam makes over here, which the Ramban didn't marach upon, but quite obviously he alluded to them. And since they're so important, I think it's therefore crucial for us to see what the Rambam says. The Rambam in Perichas makes the following statement. You'll see similarities and additions up and above what the Ramban told us already in Chumash. He says, Moshe Rabbeinu, Perichas on the left-hand side, Lo aminu Yisrael b'nei Oysa she'asa. Don't think that Moshe Rabbeinu's nemanis to us is based upon the miracles that he did. Oysa b'yisim. Shammai min api Oysa yesh b'liv v'dayfi. She'ef she'asa Oys b'lat v'kishuv. Maybe he used witchcraft or magic to accomplish it. That doesn't mean it's an oys, because Hashem allowed him to do a miraculous thing. Elakah, especially for the Rambam who did not believe in witchcraft or the other concepts of Ruach HaTumah being a reality in the world of reality. The Rambam always called them Sheker Gedemer. For the Ramban, like Mukubalim, they believe there's a concept of black magic and a concept of necromancy, a concept of the Ruach HaTumah, which Hashem gave as an assign against the Ruach HaKedusha. It's a real entity that we shouldn't listen to. For the Rambam, who says it's Bubba Mainzes, and he says it's in Hilchos Avodah Zarah, so if that's the case, he says, if this person did an Oysa Maifses, it must have been some type of miracle he did with magic and such, which is the Bubba Mainzah. Ella, call a Oysa She'asa B'midbar. If the Torah records Oysas Moshe did, Lefihat Tzarech Hasan, he did it because of the necessity of the moment. Lo Lahavi Raya Anuvah, not to bring a right to his Kayach HaNavuah. And he gave examples. Tzarech Lashkiyas HaMitzrim, he had to cause the Mitzrim to drown because of their desire to kill the Jews. Karasiyam Vitzilimbo, therefore he split the sea, they drowned there, Klaiso and Nitzal. Klaiso needed mazon in the midbar. What he did, Harig Lanas Amon, he brought down the mud to feed us. Tzavol, they were thirsty, they needed water. Baklem es Evan, he split the stone open. Kafrubo, Eadis Karach, they rebelled against Hashem and Moshe. Balas Amaretz, to show that Hashem was so angry with them, and Neshul Leibed Derech that was done to swallow them up, that people shouldn't follow the Derech of Karach, like Karach Vadaso. Vechen Shkol Shar Eisais. All of the Oysas were done for a Tzarech HaShah for a specific purpose for Klal Yisrael. So the obvious question is, so what is Moshe's Nevuah? How is it Neman to us? So he says, B'maymer HaSinai. By Moshe with us being in Maymer HaSinai to experience Hashem speaking to us. Sha'aneinu ra'u wa'ay sora v'lo zar. Azneinu shaba v'lo acher. Ha'esh v'ha'kailas v'la'apidim. All the backdrop of the things that were taking place. Vunigash al Araf al Moshe went into the dark of the darkness. Vakamadabilav, and Hashem was speaking to him. Vanasham, we hear, Moshe, Moshe, Lech for Amalem, Kafak, tell Claudius all this and tell Claudius all that. So we see the authorization of Moshe being given by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to disseminate information from Hashem to them. Vechenu Omer, Panim bepanim diba Hashem imachem. Vinema, furthermore, Lo es avaseinu karas Hashem es abris azos. That basically Hashem is covering the bris with all the future generations. Ubemayin shevamayim rasina levado. He arayel advaso shashi emes shein bo dofi. How do we know? As I just articulated, Hasinai is the ikar when it comes to the nemanis of Moshe's nevuah. Shenemin inochi baalech baavanan ba'vo yishma bedaber yimach. So the pasuk spells it out. When Klal Yisrael sees this encounter, and you had no fear and trepidation, you came into the inner panim of the Kedushas HaShechinah, Hashem addressed you, and they heard it. Therefore, this will give them manas at the level of nevuah. Michlal, shekidim davezel amino b'nei Moshe amedes. That before Maimed HaSinai, with all the oases of Moses and the Moshe performed, when it comes to what you think about happening in Mitzrayim. And when you think about the Haggadah, that wasn't just 10 rabbis by the time the Baal Haggadah finishes, we're talking about now when the hundreds and the hundreds what happened at the Yamsuf. So the Rambam says, despite all those miracles that took place, that's not what caused Klaus to have Nemanis and Moshe Rabbeinu on the level that we're talking about. Turn the page right up by your side, on top, right inside.
Mine is a little crossed out. Is yours crossed out also?
Yeah.
A little bit. Second, let me just read to you what the Ika Nusach is. I have the better Nusach over here. Second. So it says over here. Wonderful. Mine is crossed out here also. It's Kavaldik. Let's just read a little further over here. Nimsu Sheshulach Lahem. Therefore, the fact of the matter is that Moshe was sent and authorized by Hashem, and they heard this authorization. Because basically speaking, they were together, and ends up klaus or eidim for Moshe's emes dikait. Vein achem and tzarech lahavi yirayu lachavero, kach Moshe Rabbeinu, ko Yisrael eidim lo achem mayim bet ha-sinai, ein a tzarech laseis lehem ois, vezo she'om lo ha-kadosh baruch hu betchilas nevuaso, be'eish enosel lo oisos laseis me-mitzrayim, om lo, v'shamu lo koylecha, klaus are going to listen to your voice, yod Moshe Rabbeinu shamayim and al-pi oisos, yesh bulavavo dofi. So Moshe, obviously, was perturbed. If they're only going to believe me based upon the miracles he told me to do, who says they're really going to believe? Moshe didn't want to go initially. So Amah, he said to Moshe, Moshe said to him, basically, once they have harassed, they will not have any more doubts anymore. This is the famous pasuk that Hashem said in Parashas Shemot. He said to Moshe, what's the ultimate oath that you are the person? When you take Klaus out of Mitzrayim, you come to Har Sinai. It's at that juncture the nemonis of your nevuah will be established forever. That Nevi'im come in the future, if they do certain oises of Mosim, and they're confirming the Torah, not being says to the Torah, you believe them as being Nevi'ah MS. But that's only if the Navi doesn't come and try to be so sir and contradict Moshe's Torah and the Torah from Har Sinai. If a Navi comes along and he does an Isa Maifis and he contradicts the Nevuah, automatically, and he says this is lechalutin, that automatically cancels him.
It sounds more like a polemic against Mohammedanism, Islam, and the Ramban against Christianity, Yeshua and Obstin.
Yeah.
It doesn't look like these are mitzvahs that Klal Yisrael. This is a hidden thing. I don't know how the senses in that era let this be written.
You're asking now an historical question, not a lamdish
question. Yeah, not a lamdish question. It's a major historical question.
You're asking how they allowed this to go through.
Go through because it's evident that this is not written in the Klal Yisrael.
This was not this.
No, because here you had this great Novi Sheker Yeshua Nozri in the West, and you had another great later Novi in Islam,
okay.
Only 200 years before the Rambam, making the whole world crazy.
Right.
So I believe the Rambam was writing this against it now, so, you know, against Islam, and the Rambam was writing against Christianity. Therefore, they're so similar. What strikes me is
so what's your question?
How did they let him write this stuff?
Who's they?
The censors.
The censors
read all this stuff.
So the question you're asking is why they didn't censor it out of the text. Let me just say the following.
It's not historically correct.
Yeah. Hello.
It's 400 years.
Yeah. First of all, the fact of the matter is that the censors, we will admit, certain parts of the Rambam text they did censor out. But I will tell you, based upon my investigation, they only censored out those parts of the Rambam where he mentions Yeshu or Christianity by name.
Yeah.
No other place where he talks about Gaima Kedemer did they censor it out. We now the reason I'm saying we know this is because we now have in the Frankel Rambam and the Moshe Rav Kook Rambams, we were able to recoup from the Vatican all the edited texts, and they've been basically incorporated into the Rambam. One of the most famous texts, if you're really interested, if you look in the Shabbosai Frankel Rambam and the Moshe Rav Kook, if you look in the 11th chapter of Hilchos Malachim, which describes what is going to be the description of what the Mashiach is supposed to accomplish, what is his job definition, his job description. So the Rambam text reads to a certain point in the ones that I was brought up with, and then the text stops someplace in the middle. And it was obvious something was cut out. When they went to the Vatican, they got a hold of these manuscripts. There's a big reason they left it out, because if I brought you a copy, you would see that after Rambam describes what a Navi is supposed to do, B'teres Mashiach, and not supposed to do, he then says, Avo Yeshu HaNaitri, from that point on to the end of the Perek, they cut it out. So as soon as you mention Yeshu HaNaitri, the editors of the church, who unfortunately were controlling the printing press on a certain level, cut it out. You find the same thing in other Rambams, in Hilchos Machlokes, the service of Gedolim, where he talks about Christians. They basically cut out those texts. And therefore, you'll see that there's a certain process. You know, sometimes they change it from Nochri into Akum. You know, sometimes what they'll do is not cut out the whole text, but change it to an idolatrous guy. So basically, they'll either change it from Nochri to Akum, or if they feel it really refers to them, sometimes they're called the Edomim. Edomim is a code word for Christianity. So quite obviously speaking, they'll basically cut out the Edomim and put Nochri instead. So there's a very careful methodology. Even in the Gemara, they did the same exact thing. Those passages in the Gemara where Christianity, Yashka, was mentioned, they were also cut out of the Shas. Now the Chesronos HaShas basically reintroduced them. But that was the methodology they basically used. So therefore, that's not a Chiddush. Number two is, there's no question that the Rambam had an agenda over here. And his agenda was not only to tell them the theoretical halacha of Maimer Hasim like Kedemer, but also to talk to them in a Mamaloshin why they therefore shouldn't give efficacy to Yashka, and they shouldn't give efficacy, quite obviously, to Muhammad. The many places I can show you the Rambam talked around the topic, but you know exactly what he's talking about. One of the most famous passages I always talk about is the Rambam in Hilchos Shabbos, where he talks about the concept of Pekuach Nefesh, and you know, how it's Deichel Kol HaTarikul and Kulin Shabbos Kedesh. And all of a sudden, he goes into a Musa Shmuz, She'ena Torah, Nanikmas Hashem Bo'ilam, El Tairis, Chesed, V'Shalom, V'Emes. So you say to yourself, you scratch your head, what is the Rambam doing over here? What do I care whether the Torah is divine or common, not divine or common? I mean, the question is Pekuach Nefesh, Deich HaShabbos, not Deich HaShabbos. The Torah is, the Rambam, in a very interesting way, was already criticizing especially Islam, but also that the fact is, how did they run their religious involvement in this world? It's God's divine vengeance, because this world, what's taught to these people is, this world is not a world of chiyas, of life, of existence, that you gotta do what you gotta do in this world for God's sake, all your nakamis, or all your missions of suicide, gedema, because the eco life is the life of Olam Haba. So he's already been meramis. That's not what Yiddishkeit does. Yiddishkeit says your life in this world has a value, a concern, it's emes and shalom. It's not divine vengeance in this world. I can show you many places he does exactly what you're saying. But the fact of the matter is, what he's saying over here, as you see by the Ramban and Chumash and him over here, is he's explaining why the Rabban Shalom did something which is not normally not done. Allows, in this case, a kliyos or millions of people to achieve levels of momentary nevuah, if you're not worthy for that nevuah, if you're not a Moshe Rabbeinu, if you don't have that type of hachanas. And the answer is, there was a purpose, l'dayros, it was done for the reasons mentioned by both of them. That's why the Ramban says, if you look in the Rambam, he agrees with me. But he doesn't quote this as one of the Tariq Mitzvahs for the technical reasons I gave you before. But there was a kavana why they wrote this, because they were confronting this. Now, my proof to this thesis is not just saying this because I want to mataritz you, is I looked up today the Rambam and his Igeres Shmad, the one he wrote to the Taimonim. And what's interesting is he has a little piece over there in which he's trying to give them the Chama, how do we know we're right and they're wrong? Now, how do I know I'm right and they're wrong? How do I know Muhammad and Islam is Sheker and we're Emes? So he says, the answer is Maimed HaSinai. Because of what we saw, you know, the Mamashi Ibr Chazid in that specific little piece, exactly what he says over here, and he's using that as a definition to explain why therefore Muslim and Islam, Muhammad, are not the Emes Dika, because it was the Emes Dika, they should have had their own Kabbalah's Har Sinai. They should also had that divine revelation later on, changing the Torah to the Quran and changing the Navi from Moshe to Muhammad. What's interesting is whoever's involved in Kira V'chokim today, when we talk about Eshet Torah and these places, what's fascinating is when it comes to trying to bring people close, one of the things they do in their first early lectures is they point out that Christianity and Islam made all different types of statements of miraculous phenomena that these guys did.
But they never
wanted to concoct a Bubba Mainza that they had their sequel of a Maimed HaSinai. Isn't it interesting? They concocted some other Bubba Mainzas, and he's walking on the water, he's doing this, he's walking that, taking horses and flying up to heaven. I mean, all these crazy things. So why not make up a Bubba Mainza? There was a Maimed HaSinai when it comes to Islam and Muhammad, and a Maimed HaSinai when it came to Yashkin Christianity. The Teretz is, that would be a little more difficult because that would be verifiable, because if millions of people saw it, there has to be an oral testimony. And they realized they'd get in trouble if they tried to do that. You know, to say that the Yechidim saw miracles taking place, no. But millions of people witnessing something. So that far they didn't go because they realized they'd be chapped as Shakran at that point in time. But the fact that we have such a Messiris, and the fact that nobody ever questioned a Messiris, even these offshoots, never said there wasn't the Maimed HaSinai. They just claimed there was a change that took place later on, shows you the power of the Masoros, the power of that assemblage, which means we don't have to lose sleep at night because we have that Masoros. I mean, at one point in time, the Kuzari says something quite cute. He talks about this as well. He says, imagine 3 million men, women, children of Klal Yisrael staying at Har Sinai, and they all come back with the same exact interpretation. This is what we experienced. For two Jews to agree that the same thing happened, imagine millions of Jews all agreeing the same thing happened. It had to happen, because we have three Jews, you have three opinions. For 3 million to basically all say the same exact thing happened, it had to happen, knowing the temperament of Jews. So the fact of the matter is, Benkach or Benkach, Maimed HaSinai, therefore, in its aura of Shelo b'Derech HaTeva, what's the reason Shelo b'Derech HaTeva phenomenon? I mean, what's the reason for that? So the Ramban later on says, not over here, but he says later on Anocha Hashem Elokecha, on those psukim, he asked the famous question, when Hashem introduced himself to Klal Yisrael at Har Sinai, he should have said, Anocha Hashem Elokecha, Shebaras Yishmaim V'aretz, which is a greater miracle, Yitzias Mitzrayim, or Bria of Yesh Miayim, the Divine Big Bang. So therefore, if I'm going to give my calling card and introduce myself to you guys, I should. So this is the kasha that the Ibn Ezra asked, and all the Kuzari. There was a big hot discussion. So comes on the Ramban. The Ramban says very simply that when it came to Klal Yisrael, he wanted to appear to them with an experience they experienced with their own eyes and heard with their own ears. They experienced the nisan flaws of Yitzias Mitzrayim. So he says, if that's the case, you see my kaychas, you see my omnipotence, you see my hashgacha, you see who I am, what I am. The same God who did that for you over here, I'm the same God who's the lawgiver over here. They're not multiple deities, there's no concept of Shitav over here, Shita Pulo, Kedemer. There's no concept, because in the world of idolatry, there was a God for everything. God of the sun, God of the moon, God of this. So multiple Godheads was in the idolatrous world. Achdus HaBori is one of the major Yesedas when it comes to Yahadus. And the Rambam held that Achdus HaBori is not only a requirement for Jews to believe, Shemash Hashem Elokim Echad, but even a guy who doesn't believe in Achdus HaBori is considered Oved Avodah Zarah. A big discussion which he had, and the Baal HaTosfos had a big discussion whether Shituf is prohibited for a guy, for a Jew it's surely prohibited. So if that's the case, the Achdus of Hashem being the same one who's Bar Alamin, and the one who's nice in the Torah, the one who's matzal klais Mitzrayim, Hashem appeared in different parts of him, realized we're all the same God. And from the fact that Klal Yisrael, the Ramban says, Sur Hashem, changing natural law and manipulating natural law, when it comes to Osem Osem, if he sees Mitzrayim, Kriyas Yam Suf. So if able to change and manipulate natural law, then it's quite logical. You created the natural law, you have the formula, which means therefore ultimately brought to Emunah and Mutachan in Hashem being the Bar Olam as well. So Briyas Olam was finally taught to them by the experience of Yitzias Mitzrayim, the Osis of Mosim. That's what we pass in Halach Lamas when it comes to Kiddush Friday night, the Kiddush Deraisa. We pass in not only do you have to be Zeicha, the concept of Briyas Olam, but it has to be also a Zeich Yitzias Mitzrayim. And the Achrayna point out that Gemara Bracha Stavchav, which darshens that, it's a deraisa, it's a deraisa, and that's why the Mishnah Berurah says in Siman Reish Ayin Beis and Hilchos Shabbos that when you basically daven in shul Friday night, so the question everybody asked was if the din of Kiddush when it comes to Kiddush Friday night is basically Kiddush Hadavarim, and the tzarech of Kais is only a derabbanim and divrei seferim. So therefore, every husband who davens in shul Friday night, when he comes home to his wife, he should have been yaitzed the deraisa. He should hold it only by the rabbanan. So why should he be in kiddush for his wife lechatchila? Basically, she doesn't have a kiddush; she do it for herself. So to which the Mishnah Berurah answers, "B'shem Rav Kiva Eiger, what's the reason? Because in the shul, in the theme of the Shemoneh Esrei, what you have is the theme of what the zechira of Briyas Ha'olam, but you don't have as part of the Shemoneh Esrei the theme." Of Zeich Litzias Mitzrayim. That's not part of the Shemoneh Esrei. We say Vayichulu three times that night, so they emphasize the Maaseh Bereishis, the Bria. But the concept of Yitzias Mitzrayim is not mentioned as part of the Nusach of the Etzem Shemoneh Esrei. So therefore, based upon that, you were not Yotze the din of Kiddush Derais with the Nusach, because if it was missing Yitzias Mitzrayim. Number two, we paskin, Shulchan Aruch Samech Samech, that mitzvah tzriches kavanah is ma'akev deraisa, says kiddush is the deraisa. If I don't have kavanah do it l'shem kiddush, and sure I have kavanah do it l'shem tefillah, therefore I'm not yotzei the mitzvah. So when you come home, you're still holding by a deraisa, and that's the teretz which the Mishnah Berurah says, halacha l'maaseh, therefore don't come with buba mind, says the other way. The reason I'm saying this to you is because we therefore see that when it comes to the concept of Maimon HaSinai, everything that took place in Maimon HaSinai was basically a confirmation and ultimate a bringing together of all the experience of Klal Yisrael from the time of Moshe going to Mitzrayim, to Paro, Isis and Moses, including what happened in Har Sinai, was one big, big phenomenon of experience to tell Klal Yisrael, to confirm to Klal Yisrael, the fact who the Rabbanu Shalom is, and Yediyas Hashem, the concept of Yechelas Hashem, and the concept of Ashkach HaPratis. All of this was confirmed at Har Sinai. Your experience of Yitzias Mitzrayim is a confirmation of this. But Hashem being Bar Olamim is the ultimate unta Shashura. The crucial fact of tonight's shir is to realize that our Mesoris of Torah is based upon the Mesor of Ish Mipi Ish, going back thousands and thousands of years. The Rabbanu Hashem wanted us to make sure this Mesor is given Ish Mipi Ish. But thousands of times, we want one generation, another generation. And that's why we have no Sufik in our minds. And that's what the Rambam said when he wrote in his Geras Tema, that ours is the emes the religion. Here the revelation took place. Hashem bichvoido biatzmo. Never ever did anybody ever claim that God revealed Himself. Quite obviously, what happened with Christianity later on, they claimed posthumously He was God. So you know, once you do that, you basically kill two birds with one stone. But I will tell you one thing: that anybody who's a scholar, even in Christianity, will tell you that the initial Tzatzkalach who basically started Christianity never claimed that he's a God. That's a later creation that was created later on by people who never even knew him. Some people said never even saw him. Initially he was, you know, a big Navi, a great, great guy, did miracles, or, you know. But that was only a later phenomenon. What's interesting, by Muhammad, they never claimed that he was God. You know, that crazy they were. I mean, they're crazy in killing people, knocking people's heads off. You know, that's what they're crazy with.
In the name.
Yeah. But the fact of the matter is, so tonight we see, Rabbi Yisai, that Kabbalah Satera, Maimon HaSinai, is a very powerful experience, which all the Rishonim could obviously articulate. And to realize the Oisos and Mosim that were involved in it, and therefore to understand, could obviously speaking, why Hashem did these things at that point in time, that has kept us going for thousands of years. all the persecutions and all the torture, can never ever take that away. The Baalei Kabbalah tell us, to make it even more personable, that every neshama of every Jew and convert that's ever going to be part of Klal Yisrael, their neshamas were at Har Sinai, so that it should be ingrained in their neshama as well as part and parcel of their experience. That's number one. Number two, I found a very interesting phenomenon, which is mentioned by the Al-Sheikh, and that is, what is the meaning of the Maimon Chazal, Hashem Medaber Metev Groino Shel Moshe Rabbeinu? What do we have to have that experience for? Because Moshe, once Moshe was given the Nemanus to teach us the Torah, he gave it, we're given that Nemanus, what do I care whether it's his voice, God's voice? So Zok the Al-Sheikh HaKadosh, that once Klais were heard Hashem's voice at Har Sinai, anytime Moshe spoke later on, to give a double proof that it's coming from Hashem, not only do we have Hashem's authorization, Har Sinai, but the voice they heard of Hashem at Har Sinai, they heard coming from Moshe's mouth, so Hashem was speaking to them with that coil that prophetically they heard. It's a further confirmation that basically emanated from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the fact of the matter is, the Ari HaKadosh and the Torah sets that we therefore especially have to contemplate the concept of Maimon Har Sinai, what it represents to us. Well, you say the bracha shebracha bano in the morning, birchas ha-teira, we should contemplate on the fact our bechira and our knowledge, everything emanates from the Maimon Har Sinai experience. Also, they point out in the bracha that you recite right before Kriyat Shema, if you look in the nusach ha-bracha, the emphasis of our bechira, Hashem be modiwas, that also the kavana be gzorcha, yitzis ma'am lo'loi nishkach, all of that is nichleles in this pivotal phenomenon, Rabbi Yisai, ashreinu matel chalkeinu. And therefore, we have to walk out of it with so much chizuk. Have to not feel bad for the rest of the world, how far they've gone. But the fact of the matter is, the Rabbanu Hashem is performing oisus and mosim today, where you see both of these religions undergoing bankruptcy in front of our eyes. It's an interesting phenomenon. And this, you know, this is the way we're basically paving the Mois HaMashiach. Every day that they do crazy things, they're undermining, undercutting their own religious beliefs. That's going to be the precipitator, Rabbi Yisai, of the Mashiach Sitenu on Mei V'Yamei.
Please join us again for another lecture on BensTorah.com.